This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Georgia State University's basketball team has suddenly become the most prominent one in the state. The Panthers have put together a 24-7 record on the year. They're 17-1 in their conference. They won the Sun Belt Conference regular title, and they are the number one seed going into this weekend's Sun Belt tournament. If they can win that, they get into the NCAA tournament. Ron Hunter is the coach of the Panthers. This is his third season now. He joins us in Georgia State's sports arena. Coach, welcome. Congratulations and good to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You came from what a lot of folks up in Indiana call ooey pooey, Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis, where you had been for many years. When they said, how'd you like to come to Georgia State? Why on earth did you decide to come here?
Well, first of all, it's hard to say IUPUI. So you can imagine in the recruiting wars, just to explain what IUPUI meant, it took about 20 minutes inside to, when you're talking to recruits. But I hadn't heard much about Georgia State, and I was actually on a recruiting visit going to Kentucky to see one of our recruits play and got a phone call. And really wasn't interested about it. And it was a Thursday, and someone called me again, and I decided just to take a look and flew in on a Friday, and next thing I know, Sunday, I was the head coach at Georgia State. So it happened really fast, and it's been a blessing. Really, really love Atlanta. I think this institution is terrific. I think that it's been starving for a winner, and so we're really excited to be here, and what we're doing right now is that we think this is just the beginning of what we're trying to get done.
You said on Thursday you came down. By Saturday, you were the head coach. What was it in those 72 hours or so, though, that convinced you that this was the place to be?
Well, you know, I've spent my entire career at urban institutions. IUPUI, of course, is an urban institution. I was at Wisconsin-Milwaukee, which is another urban institution. And then I came here, and I just thought that the potential here was terrific. The president had a vision that I really enjoy. He was very aggressive in what he wanted to do. And I sat and met with Bill Curry, who had just started the football program. And I was sold. I had a great situation, could have retired and stay where I was at, but I wanted to do this, and some would say it was a gamble, but it's a gamble that's paid off. I love Atlanta. Again, in this city, you know, trying to build basketball isn't as difficult as people think it is. I came from basketball heaven in Indiana, where when you're in the third grade, you learn how to run a motion offense. So it's just, you know, and so now I'm in football country, and so it's a little different in that regards, but I love the enthusiasm of what people here bring in Atlanta. Never really even been to the South before, and so this has been great. It's great for my family and coaching my son also, so it becomes a family affair here where we're all doing this together.
Was it a chance to rebuild a program? It had some success mm-hmm. before.
Yeah.
But was it a chance to rebuild that was the most appealing?
Yeah, you know, we had done a great job in Indianapolis building a program, and we knew it got to the point where that's probably the best it could go. And so to have that other challenge for me, and this became that other challenge. And so it wasn't a difficult challenge because I've done it before, you know, going in urban institutions that, you know, where, you know, there aren't many dorms and those type of things, and building pride in the institution. We had to do that at IUPUI when you've got Indiana, Purdue, Butler, the Pacers, the Colts. You got so many great things around you. And then I came in this situation, same thing. You got Georgia Tech, you got the Falcons, you got the Hawks. And so there are a lot of great similarities in the job. And so I just thought it was right up my alley. And so far, it's just been perfect.
What is it about that appeals to you? The idea of coming into some place where there's a challenge like this, and a place where you mentioned urban institutions a couple of times. What is it about those that appeal to you?
You know, it's just been something that I enjoy. I've always thought that, you know, the traditional schools, whether it's the, you know, it's the Dukes or it's the Virginias or, you know, the more established places, at the end of the day, you aren't going to change too much because they've already won. The culture's already there. You're not coming in to change a culture. I love going to places where you can change the culture and you can put a stamp, your stamp on what you want that program to be. And we were able to do that at IUPUI, and that's what we want to do here. Lefty did a great job here. Lefty Giselle did a great job when he was here. But the first questions I asked when I got here, why did it fall back? It hadn't been the same since Lefty had left. And so did a lot of research with that. And so I just feel comfortable, you know, and I tell young coaches all the time, you know, sometimes you start chasing money, and what you got to do is you got to chase happiness and what makes you go. And urban institutions is something that's been in my blood. I love it. I love the feel of cities. I love that. And so me going to a place and being in a small town probably wouldn't be as effective. And so you have to know that. And so this is something that I've known and grown into. And I love this. I love being a part of something special. Because, again, when you do something like what we're doing right now, it gives you a little bit more pride and joy. You know, Georgia Tech is a great institution, but if you went to Georgia Tech, they've been to the Final Four. They've done all these great things, and so you feel good about it, but it's not something that hadn't been done before. Coming here at Georgia State, we're trying to do something that's never been done before.
The team had had some success several times. It had had a couple of appearances in the NCAA over the years, but then it kind of went backwards. When you got here, did you have an idea of why it had not been able to maintain a consistent level of success?
Well, I think that they had a very dynamic coach in Lefty, and then Lefty, you know, he retired, and they couldn't duplicate that again. When you have these type of jobs, it takes a lot of energy, and Lefty was getting older, and it was become difficult to do that daily. You know, you've really got to go work, you got to go hustle, you got to be a salesman, and so it's the decisions that you make in personnel a lot of times. Is that, you know, there are a lot of great coaches, but a lot of times great coaches, you have to have a great fit. Everyone can't come to Georgia State and win. I don't care how, you could be the best X and O guy in the world, but it has to be a great fit. And as a coach, you have to understand what's that fit. And so that's what when I look at the guys before, they were all good coaches. It just, it wasn't a great fit for them in Georgia State. I thought Lefty was a great fit because there's no better salesman than Lefty. So, you know, he was able to elevate a program, and that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to do the exact same thing that they did.
This is your third season, and you have some transfers who have really helped you. You have a young man who played at Kentucky. He wasn't just a bench player. He started games at Kentucky. You have another one from Southern Cal, another one from Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. How long can you build a program, though, with transfers? Yeah. At what point do you have to say, we've got to go out and attract people who want to come here in the first place?
Well, it's interesting because Georgia State has been built on transfers. Forget the athletic part. This university is built on that, where people, there aren't many people that come to Georgia State, and it's the first school and only school to go to. So the university is built that way. So why can't the athletic program be that way? When Lefty won here, they did it with transfers. And so we're having a great year, and we did it with transfers. So why, I'm not sure why I would want to try to change anything else. We're probably not going to get the number one player in the state of Georgia to want to come here the first time, but maybe the second time they may want to come. And so, and you know, one of the things I like about transfers is that by the time I get them, they're more humble. You know, they're not that 18-year-old spoiled kid that thinks everything's deserved to them. They usually have gone in, they got their head knocked up a little bit, they've had some bad things happen to them, and now they can come back and get back to being happy and playing again. So I love that aspect of it. But again, I don't, you know, the transfer thing gets a kind of a bad rap, but when I look at it, I transfer from my job. My president transferred from his job. The athletic director transferred from their job. So there's nothing wrong with that. And so, again, that's the part of the urban feel. And so if a kid wants to come back home, they tried it somewhere else and they want to come back home, we're going to always be there for them.
How do you get a kid, though, who played at Rupp Arena in Kentucky to say, hey, I want to play at Georgia State Sports Arena, which is to put it kindly, a little bit smaller.
Yeah, you know what we do? I send my assistants. I say, you know what? You go to Kentucky game, go to UCLA game, go to Duke. That last guy on the bench is not happy. When he walks out, just give him a car. He looks really sad. Hey, come on back to Georgia State. So. But no, it's one of the things, one of the reasons what we do is that we recruit right now. We recruit kids that we know we're not going to get. Because if you got to look at it right now, the transfer rates are the highest it's ever been in college basketball. There were over 600 transfers last year. Kids transfer high school teams. They transfer AAU teams. So why are you, by the time they get, you know they're going to leave. So if you don't get into that business right now, you're not going to succeed. Take the best program probably in the country right now in regards to image is Duke. Their second best player is a transfer, Rodney Hood. And so when Duke is taking transfers, you know when you're at Georgia State or other places, if you're not in that business, you can't succeed anymore because kids, they're going to make changes.
But you still have to build a recruiting base here in this state. You also have to build your fan base among the students in a student body that, with the exception of some residential students, are a lot of folks who just come in for the day or for the night.
Yeah, and we still do that. I mean, if you look at what we still have, we've got out of our 15 guys, we've got 8 guys on our team that have come in from the high school ranks. And so there's a combination that you have to be able to do it. You know, even if you take my son, who's a high school player, Devontae White, who's an all-conference player, was a high school player that came in here. So Marcus Kreider is a high school kid that came in from Ohio. So you just have to have that balance of the two. You can't do either one. All you can't have all transfers, and you can't have all high school kids at this level. So it's almost like a puzzle, and you got to put the puzzle together. Personalities. One of the great things that I think that's happened to us this year, we're a talented team, but there are a lot of talented teams. Chemistry was one of the things that why we won this year. And so when you got people from different places and coming in from different things, the chemistry has to work. And so that's one of the things, that's part of my job. I got to make sure the chemistry works.
Let's take a look at this season. Obviously, you had to have a lot of high hopes going into the season, but at what point was there a moment when you said, wow, this team is special, sometime during the year?
You know what? We started the season, there was a lot of hype about the team early, and we started the season 3-6, and we lost a game at Southern Miss, a game we should have won, lost it in overtime. And it was the first time, really, since I've been coaching, that after the game, I knew, it was like something to come, I knew we had a good basketball team, and we've lost one game since. That was December the 7th. And we lost one game since. I just felt like at that particular time, you know, we lost to a very good team, but I saw it coming together. Beginning of the season, the chemistry wasn't there. And we talked about some guys had to make some sacrifices in that. We did it in that game, and we lost the game. I think if we had won the game, I don't know if we had the year that we had. Sometimes you have to have a loss to realize to realize how good you have to be, or to stumble a few times to be able to say, okay, you know what? We saw that. We've seen bad. Even right now with my players, when I feel like we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves or feeling good about ourselves, I resort back. We were 3-6 at one time. Remember what that feeling was like. And so we had to have that. You got to go through something bad for something good to happen.
Was it a change in the demeanor of the team, or did you say, okay, we're going to do this on defense, or we're going to scrap this on offense and run this instead? Was it a tactical or a spiritual thing that happened?
It was an attitude change. An attitude change in the mind and in the heart and everything. You had to get it inside of you. And we just didn't do it. We had some guys that were, you know, they were more worried about the back of the jersey instead of the front of the jersey. And so when in that particular game, I thought we were worried more about what's said in the front of the jersey, not the back. And since that time, it's been more about the Georgia State than the individuality on the back of the jersey. And so that was the attitude change that happened.
Now you're headed into a tournament, a conference tournament, where you're the number one seed. A win will send you to the NCAA tournament. Unlike a lot of other conferences, though, if you don't win the title, you're probably not going to go to what everybody calls the big dance. Mm-hmm. What kind of pressure does that put on these young men, though?
Well, it's pressure. But one of the things this morning I talked to our guys about is that it's a different type of pressure. A summer ago, I took my kids to South Africa to deliver shoes to underprivileged kids. And they saw pressure when you wake up in the morning, you don't have a pair of shoes. They saw six-year-old boys and girls that may not ever have a pair of shoes until they're 16, 17, 18 years old. That's pressure. They saw where some of these kids live. They saw what they eat. And, you know, there are a lot of kids from Atlanta who thought that they grew up in poverty, but they saw what poverty is like. And so we talked about that. This isn't pressure. We've had an unbelievable year. We want to go. We want to win that. This won't change anything. You're still champions. You're going to hang a banner. This is what you're doing. You're playing basketball and you're playing. You're getting a scholarship and you're doing all that. So that's not pressure at all. We want to finish the deal. You're going to be champions regardless of what happens this weekend. But what pressure is, because we're going to take our kids again this summer. We're going to Central America and we're going to do the same thing. And I told them this morning, think about those children who have no idea that we're coming, that are going to get a pair of shoes and we're going to wash their feet. Think about what's going to happen to their lives. That's much bigger than any NCAA tournament, any win that we'll have. And so it's more about, you know, we want to win here, but we're trying to develop young men. You know, we talk about the transfers, but when these guys leave Georgia State, I want them to be great men in the city of Atlanta. That's part of what my job has to be.
You mentioned the program where you provide shoes. That's Samaritan's Feet. You've been involved in that for years. Getting the kids to buy into that when you come into a new place, how difficult was that, and how does that fit in with the notion of saying, okay, especially in a school like this, we're probably not going to produce many folks who will have that as a career. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to go into life when this is over.
Well, you know, when we recruit a young man, the first thing that we will tell a parent is that we want to win a lot of games. But my job is that when that young man is done at 22 or 23, whatever he's done, I hope that he's better mentally, physically, and spiritually. And so that's the three things that we want to make sure they're better at. And so the shoe program really helps us in a sense that, I mean, if you could imagine a 19-year-old college kid who, you know, most of our kids think that they have a sense of entitlement, you know, in all this country. And all of a sudden we strip them down and we say, listen, we're going to give this child a pair of shoes. But before you give them the shoes, what I want you to do is I want you to wash that child's feet. And I want you to talk to that child. Now what it does, it strips the individual. It strips that player now. That you've got to sit in a chair, talk to a young person. Generally, don't speak the same language you speak, and wash the feet of a child and then give them a pair of shoes. If that doesn't change your life, then there's something wrong with you. And every young man that I've coached has been able to do that. It has changed their life. And so, again, what we're trying to do is develop the entire part of the man and make these kids better. And then when you do that, winning becomes easy. You know, and so, you know, that's one of the things we talk about. You know, when you asked about winning on Saturday, A winner to me is that we're developing good people and good basketball players. That's the total package. Then I can say we're winners.
Part of the culture of college basketball, especially these days, in the top ranks, has been the one-and-dones. Mm-hmm. A team from Kentucky that puts together players that play for a year or two and then leave. A lot of kids who may not have that NBA future, though, still look at that and say, oh, I can go here, there, or wherever. Is it time for college basketball to take a look at how many years a kid can stay in school, or would there be just so many hassles and maybe even legal challenges that the day of the four-year player at the top schools is done?
Well, I think that a young man should stay at least 3 years in college. I just think that, going to college is a great thing. You develop, you become a man. Now, you don't necessarily have to graduate from that college. There are a lot of people that have made a lot of money and did a lot of great things in this world that never graduated from college. But you can go to college and you can prepare yourself. One of the problems that I've got is that a lot of these 18 and 19-year-olds, they'll go and they'll jump right into the NBA, and financially, they're ruined 10 years later because they don't know how to manage their life, their time, and their money. College can help you do that. There's a lot of things you can get out of college that you don't have to go and sit in a classroom. Now, with that said, there are golfers, there are individual sports people, there are tennis players that don't go to college and they do fairly well in that regard. But the media aspect doesn't really follow them as much, and they're not as targets as much as the young men that we have in our community in that regard. So I'm just a big believer that education means a lot. Education doesn't necessarily mean sitting in a classroom, but education means coming in kind of what we're talking about. You can become better spiritually in college. You can become better mentally in college. And so those are the types of things that I think that your body might be ready, but your mind isn't ready. And so part of it, I think that you need the 3 years to be able to do it. Or we got to develop something. If you don't want to do that, then go into a developmental league, into the NBA, and in that developmental league, there's educational type things that they're helping these young people with.
But how important is the classroom? You said you don't have to sit in a classroom to get an education, but how important is it in your priority list with these young men?
Well, educate. I mean, that's really important, and you got to understand we're probably only talking about 25 to 30 kids that'll get to the point where they can make that type of money, and so the rest of the 99.9% of the kids, they have to graduate from college. But those special 25 to 30 kids is that again, going to class, you got to be disciplined to get up at 8 o'clock and go to class. That the discipline part about it. Take a class in finance so you can learn what to do with your money. And so that's what I mean in that regards. And even, you know, going to study table, going to type of things where you have to show up, be on time, understanding that there's a responsibility what you have. And that's when people talk about the one and dones, you still talk about 25 to 30 kids. And that's one thing I talk to our players about. That's such a small number. But the rest of them have to go to college and graduate. But again, you know, we do have this conversation, but we're having a conversation about a very, very select few.
Can you see the NCAA ever saying we're going to impose a 3-year requirement, for instance?
It won't come from the NCAA. It'll come from the Players Association and the NBA. That's who makes all those decisions. They're going to have to decide you can't come into our league until you are X amount, you're 22 years old, or you've got 3 years in college. So that's where it's going to come from. If it was up to NCAA and colleges, we would impose a 4-year deal. We don't want the kids to leave, but that's all NBA, and that's the Players Association.
Can you see the NBA and the Players Association ever making that determination, though, and saying, okay, colleges, we're not going to take anybody who hasn't been for 3 years?
Yeah, I really do think that's on the horizon. And really, from the players' point of view, you would think they would have longer careers if the guys stayed longer in college. So why would you want a guy to come in and take your job? There's only so many jobs that are there. And I think that the brand of the NBA is down right now. I think it's watered down, and there are a lot of the old school people, and I guess I'm considered one of the old school people now, that see that. The game is a lot different now. And so we just got guys that are very talented but are not prepared. And so, and the mistakes they're making are becoming very obvious. And so, so I do think that there are a lot of people, including the NCAA and the Players Association and the NBA, who are all coming together to say, hey, listen, let's do something about this.
Is the college brand down, though, too, because of all the people who leave.
Yeah, it is to somewhat. But what happens is the Georgia States, the VCUs, the Butlers are benefiting from it. And so now it makes the NCAA tournament great. You know, before, you never saw a mid-major into the Final Four. Now you're seeing the Wichita States and these people do it now, because what happens is the one-and-done guys are leaving the Dukes and the Georgia Techs, and they're going to college. And so you can't build a program and sustain it with guys sustaining your program for 1 year. But what has helped us as the mid-majors.
You were named Coach of the Year, and your son was named Player of the Year in the Sun Belt Conference. That doesn't happen very often.
No, and you know, that's I've been blessed to be Coach of the Year before, and it's a great honor. I think it's more about my assistant coaches and the people around me. But this one's special because it's a family deal. And you're doing it, you know, when it's your kid, you know. Most of the time when you have an 18-year-old son, they usually go away to college and you see them on holidays and those things. Now, I spend 4 or 5 hours a day with my 18, 19-year-old kid. And so to be able to do this together and to do what we're doing at Georgia State together, his senior year, he stayed back in Indiana. And I remember being here by myself. And so to have my family here and to have us do this thing together here at Georgia State, it makes it special because it's not just a job now. My whole family's involved with what we do here.
Quick little bit about basketball itself here. Going into a conference tournament, do you change anything of what you do tactically, strategically? I mean, because you're playing teams that you've played a couple of times already this year. They know you. You know them. Do you change anything?
I think the one advice I could give, Coach, this is my 26th year of being a head coach, and the one thing that I would say is that don't out-coach yourself. We were 17-1 in the conference, so I think that was pretty good. If I ran out here and start changing things, I would lose my mind. And it's funny because there's a part of me, I sit at home and I want to change things. I say, boy, we should try this and we try that. And I always have to take a step back and say, why? You know, sometimes you just change to make changes, and then it was good enough to be 17-1. It was good enough to be 24-7. And so we won't change anything. You know, we might change an angle on a screen because they came over the top. But what got us here is what's got to get us to the NCAA tournament. So what's that old saying? You got to dance with the one you came with. So that's what we're going to do.
So for you, does it start with, you mentioned chemistry, of course. But on the floor, does it start with defense, offense? Where do you build your game plan?
Mentally, just making sure the guys are ready. When you're, you know, talking about when you're on top, you know, people are going to take shots at you. And so, you know, you're the number one seed, you're 17-1, people want what we have. And so we've got to go out, we've got to take this. And so it's now, my job was 100% mentally and not physical. It's about having them mentally ready to play Saturday and Sunday.
As you look at what you've built here, I mean, you tend to stay at places for a while. Do you plan to spend quite a while here at Georgia State? Or having built something already, do you say, okay, when do I know when we're as good as we can get?
No, I think this is a gold mine. I really believe this job could be terrific. I'll be here as long as they want me to stay here, you know. So as long as they want me here, I'll be here. One of the things that, you know, my son's a sophomore, and we love it here. My wife doesn't like moving. She loves Atlanta. She loves the weather. If I came home and told her, hey, listen, there's another job, she may say, you got to do this one by yourself. So I don't know if that's going to work for us, but we love it here. And so as long as the people at Georgia State want us, we'll be here.
Coach Ron Hunter is the head coach of the Georgia State University Panther basketball team. He was Coach of the Year in the Sun Belt Conference. He heads into the conference tournament this weekend. Coach, thanks so much. Good luck to the team. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.